back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Ryan Leaf, former Washington State quarterback, broadcaster on the CW. He'll be joining us coming up in about 5-6 minutes. He's at a parent-teacher conference. I love that. You think about these former NFL players and you think about them in context of, you know, who they are as a broadcaster or who they are as a football player or who, you know, whatnot. And then you forget Ryan Leaf's got kids and he's at a parent-teacher conference. And damn it, he'll be with us when he can be with us. Let's see how the report goes. I'll be very curious to see. We get good behavioral report or what's happening. We got people who are holding. I want to talk about Bruce Barnum and the Davy Crockett tune that he sang. What's up? What's up, Bill?
Yeah, you guys were talking about that. And my brother's wife,
okay, sister,
was the daughter of a guy named George Bruns. George Bruns wrote that song. George Bruns worked for Disney, but he worked mainly in Sandy, Oregon. He had a big home up there, and he had a studio there that he did all his writing, and then he'd fly back and forth to L.A. when Disney needed something written. So when you were talking about that, I just thought, well, this is really funny. So
it's a small world, isn't it? It's a small world moment.
Yes, it is. It really is. And, yeah.
Did you ever meet George, or did you just kind of hear about it?
No. My brother would have met him, of course, because he was married to his daughter. I don't know. You might know. My brother's name was John Lake. And John was a referee for 32 years in the PBOA, and he was also the secretary treasurer for, so he had like 50 years in that part.
Yeah, and you say, you talk about him in past tense. Did he pass away?
Yeah, John has passed, yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Well,
he's about 4 years ago, I think. Yeah. Okay.
Well,
yeah,
go ahead.
No, I lost him, and then I lost my second oldest brother 2 years later. So I'm hoping I'm not in line here. So
well, it gives us all a reminder to call our siblings.
Oh yes, yeah.
One more time.
I call my sister probably once a week or so.
Good for you, Bill in Milwaukee. Yeah. Thank you for that little tidbit. It raises a question about kind of these connections that you have with people who are famous. They're you know, it's not the kind of connection that you would bring up other than he hears the Davy Crockett song and he says, oh yeah, that song was written by George, who was the father of my sister-in-law. Make those connections. Like, I've never mentioned this before. This is like my equivalent of what that caller just brought up. There was a actor who played Dr. Baker on Little House on the Prairie. Doc. Do you remember Doc from Little House on the Prairie? Well, his name was Kevin Hagan. And I know this because on my college baseball team, we had a pitcher named Chris Hagan. That was his dad. And I watched Little House on the Prairie growing up as a kid. And so when we played a baseball game in college and Chris Hagan was pitching, Doc would show up. And it was the wildest thing. I looked up in the crowd and I was like, that's the doctor from Little House on the Prairie. Why is he here? And Chris Hagan was like, that's my dad. Known as Doc. So, and by the way, he was like 70-something when he was showing up at the games, but he still looked like Doc Hagan. Steven, you have one of those connections, those brushes? It's kind of like the Kevin Bacon game. You know, an association of an association with What's the funny, quirky story that you have a mild association with? Like that, you know, that caller, Bill in Milwaukee, says, hey, you know, my sister-in-law's dad wrote the song, the Davy Crockett song.
There's a guy, he's a country singer. He's from Silverton, Oregon. His name is Ben Rue. And when I was at Concordia, my fifth year, I still was earning my scholarship. So I had to coach the JV team at Concordia. Mm-hmm. And he was on that. And so it was weird to like hear his song on the radio and like, you know, see him doing performances. He actually sang the national anthem at the Blazer game earlier this season. Like, it was that kind of stuff where I was like, oh, yeah, I just, you know, I was hanging out with that guy when he was in college, just goofing around playing JV basketball. Now he's out there being a big star.
Sounds like.
Get him on the show.
We need to get Ben Rue on the show. Have him bring his guitar. He's in Nashville now, it looks like.
Yeah, I think he might have moved back to Silverton to be a farm guy, but, well, I don't know.
Okay. But it looks like, yeah, he sang the national anthem on February 4th at the Blazer game. So there you go. Speaking of celebrity brushes, our next guest. He's fresh off a parent-teacher conference. Ryan Leaf, former NFL quarterback, former Washington State guy, broadcaster. You see him and love him on the CW last season. How did the parent-teacher conference go?
Oh, good to hear from you, John. It went really good. You know, it was we're in the moment right now where, you know, we're addressing behaviors and, you know, things that my life experiences have given me lately over the last 12 years or so, 13 yeah. years that I've been able to attribute now to child rearing, which I think is a benefit in all that.
You know what, man? I have three daughters. I've been in a number of these conferences, and notes are being passed, and people are talking when they shouldn't be talking. But in the end, you know, you are building a human being there. And it's not an easy task, as you know. And, you know, I like that you know where the school is and that you're going over to the school for a conference. I love that.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, that I have essentially had to start over from scratch about 13 years ago. And so I've kind of raised myself a little bit over the last 13 years, and now I'm trying to do it double time with my, luckily I have an incredible partner who's much more mature than I am and is willing to kind of go through this together. So it's like everything. We're all the same. We're all these flawed human beings trying to be better. And I'm glad I get the opportunity to try to do that.
Let's talk about, you know, yesterday I saw on social media, you were celebrating 13 years of sobriety. You were talking about being, you know, waking up in a jail cell. You have been so raw and candid and open about that, and I think people out there, there may be somebody listening who's struggling right now. Ryan, you know, can you share a little bit of that journey in the last 13 years and why it's important for you to talk about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that stigma is one of the biggest hurdles that we're still having to overcome is because we're so fearful of what other people will think of us, and I was definitely in that boat. You know, I just was so fearful that someone may know that I needed help, that was more scary than actually getting the help that I need. And so what I found is if I'm transparent about it, and sometimes in a way in from a lot of people, I overshare, that it may make them feel uncomfortable, but it may make somebody who's going through something similar feel like it's okay to talk about it, to address it. And then they don't ever have to go to the place that I went to, you know, where they have to wake up on the floor of a jail cell, you know, with the idea that there's no hope. So that's why I do it. And it's like, I just didn't come up with this epiphany either. My mentors have taught me this. They've explained it to me that I don't get to keep or have this peaceful, unchaotic life unless I give it away. And I didn't quite understand what it meant when they told me that at first. I fully understand what it means now, and so I give it away, and I know I get to keep this amazing life that I've been given over the last 13 years.
Ryan Leaf with us. I think it's such an important message. You know, you do things in your life that, you know, have to do with football and have to do with broadcasting, and, you know, obviously we start this conversation talking about parenting, but, you know, you're really talking about growing as a person, and that's the mission every day for all of us, is to be better, you know, and grow and evolve. And you have done that, man. And I know that, you know, we could talk this for 3 or 4 hours, but, you know, do you wish you could go back and talk to yourself as a young person? Or are you, Do you feel, are you one of the, do you kind of take the mindset of, I'm glad it unfolded the way it did because it made me who I am?
Yeah, that's a slippery slope because you don't know if you actually, I don't know, learn anything. I will say this, that everything happened the way it was supposed to. Life is life. You're not one thing. You're not the worst thing you've ever done. You're not the failure in your life. You are the sum of all its parts. And when you're a father, essentially, especially with a son that I have, who's very headstrong, and I see a lot of similarities in him that I exhibited, I'm getting that chance now to do that. But I also am shown the mirror that, hey, no matter what you do or what you do or what you did, they're going to make their own choices. My parents were amazing. My parents taught me right from wrong about respect and about all the things that being a good sport, of doing the right thing. They have three boys. The two other boys did that exactly how they were supposed to, right? I was in a different situation where I had to learn the hard way, and sometimes that's just the way it goes. And so I think what I'm getting blessed with is an opportunity to not necessarily go back in my life, but to have a young version of myself in front of me every day to try to teach him the things that I've learned along the way.
Ryan Leaf with us. All right, so before I move on to football, if someone is listening and maybe struggling a little bit, you know, and you get a chance to speak to them, and you know, is that something they have to figure out on their own, or is it something where you can provide an example to somebody and be like, hey, look at me, this is what I went through, today's the day you make that change yourself?
Well, you can, but, you know, ultimately it's a choice that's going to have to be made by somebody else. You know, if I would have gotten the lesson, or I've gotten sober on my, let's say, my parents' timeline, you know, it probably would have been 10 years, before it did. Sometimes it just has to be on your timeline, though you hope and pray that it isn't too late, because this is a life or death thing. You know, dealing with mental health, suicide, substance use disorder, those things are life and death. And so you hope that you are able to show somebody the mirror, show how they're behaving, how they're acting, talk to them and have empathy around what they're going through, because I've been there and I've done that, and that they hear something that helps them change their behavior or change something. And so I'd love to say that when I go into a situation and I speak at a school or at a function, I hope that changes things for everybody. But the best thing I ever learned was to stay out of the result, you know, to do my part, you know, to go and try to be that change agent. And then I'm able to sleep well at night because I know I did my part, regardless of what the result is, because, you know, we're not going to change things overnight. We're watching this play out. You know, the things that went on in the 60s with civil rights, those have changed completely, of course, but we're not where we need to be with it, right? But, you know, once you see that it's not happening, do you just give up? Do you just, you might not be alive to actually see the change, the stigma change for mental health situations or substance use disorder. You know, you may not see that change, but does that mean you stop trying? No, you do it, because I know that if I don't continue to do it and try to change the perspective of others around it, it's not going to go any further for me. And that's a big part of what kind of life I live, and it gives me purpose.
Former Washington State star Ryan Leaf with us. You know, last year you served as an analyst in game on the CW. We were talking about the CW early in the show. How did it go from your perspective on the CW last season?
Oh, incredible. Incredible outfit. It's perspective, right? You go from working at ESPN, where they're just such a conglomerate, where there's so many moving parts, and I was never produced. Not once in the 4 years I worked there. I never got notes from my producer. How do you get better? You know, you just, when I went on to Westwood One and started working for Howie Dinneroff, I mean, I got produced in the moment during the games, calling NFL games on the Westwood One radio network. And so that's where I knew I needed to find the next place. And the CW did that, you know, not only from the network level, but then from the Pac-12, former Pac-12 network level, that kind of took over the, you know, the third party, you know, producing of it. And Mike Molinari, who was the lead producer with Yogi Roth and Ted Robinson on the Pac-12 network, he has taken over as the kind of overseeing, overarching, you know, production man and all of that. So I got notes continuously, and I feel like what Ted and I were able to do in week one of our broadcast, we were so much better when that ultimate game between Oregon State and Washington State played out. And it was one of the best games of the year, coming down to the last second for the field goal. And also over a million people watched the game at one point. And my wife reminded me when I turned down the offer the first time last year, because I didn't know if I wanted to travel all the way across the country week in and week out, just with the kids being young. She reminded me that this was going to be games. These were going to be games that more people were going to watch and listen to you than they ever have. And she was right. And I got better. And that's all I can ask for, is that the people that are producing the games, that are putting out the best product they can, and also giving me the ability to get better. Being matched with Ted Robinson made it very easy. The guy's a legend, and he just absolutely makes me better every time I step in the booth. So hopefully, you know, it keeps in that direction. I keep improving. I love the audience that we get to speak to, and they're real fans of Washington State and Oregon State. And then hopefully the fan bases of the new Pac-12 that's gonna erupt on everybody in 2026.
Yeah, how are you feeling about that? Because Boise State, San Diego State, Fresno State, Colorado State, Utah State in the fold, Gonzaga in basketball. There was a lot of enthusiasm out of the gates. Obviously, they still need to add at least one more. But you know, how did you feel as a Washington State alum seeing that Oregon State and Washington State not only survived that thing, they are starting to reconstitute?
I'm really excited. I love what Teresa Gould is been able to do in her first year as commissioner. I don't think for one second that Teresa and the board of directors of the Pac-12 were ever looking outside of this conference, knowing what was important, the brand, everything that was meant to be, and they knew that they were going to build a new conference. And by building that new conference with the brand of the Pac-12, they were going to own it. And you had one of the teams that's about to be a Pac-12 member be in the college football playoff conversation this last year. And that's the one thing that I like about it, is that you've almost guaranteed a situation in which this conference could easily be the fourth best, if not the fifth best, out there, and have a chance at the college football playoff every single year. And that's something that Washington State, frankly, and Oregon State, that didn't come about but every 20 years at that, with the chance, with the way the Pac-12 was situated, with Oregon and Washington and USC and things like that. It just wasn't a real viable option year in, year out. And guess what? It's going to be now. And that's an important thing to remember as a fan base and of people out there trying to maybe belittle a conference that they're saying is more of a power, you know, six conference or whatever the heck they were talking about. I like where it's at. I am excited about what next year is going to bring. I think Washington State's playing a heck of a schedule. They're going on some really tough road ventures. I also like the fact that they're playing each other twice. You know, instead of playing a FCS school and having to pay somebody, what they're doing is they're getting money from a TV network to play a second game, and that's money that goes into their pockets. It's well negotiated. It's well understood by the people that are making the decisions, and I think that should give comfort to a lot of people out there around where the Pac-12 can go.
Does it concern you that there hasn't been an announcement of a media deal and the eighth school yet, or do you have faith that they're tracking in the right direction?
No, it doesn't give me any pause, because I kind of have, like you probably, have some inside knowledge to where it's been going and what's been talked about. So I think people are going to be more surprised, I guess, after such a lull, that what this media rights deal is going to look like when it's all said and done. It's going to prove out that the Pac-12 brand, how strong that brand really is, regardless of the teams that were necessarily underneath it. The the brand itself is the one that's going to withstand, and the media rights deal is going to bear that out.
Ryan, 2025, it'll still be Washington State and Oregon State. 2026, it'll be much more. Do you know yet what your role will be next season, or how does that work in the broadcasting world when you, you know, do you find out closer to the season, or do you have you had those conversations yet with the CW?
Yeah, you know, initially because it's the two-year deal before the new Pac-12, the CW really stepped up and, you know, essentially signed a two-year deal to call games. But the media rights deal is going to be such a big part of it, because if you have a network that, you know, isn't willing to be in this for the long run, you would then look at it as a lame duck, you know, and maybe you want to be in the partnership that you are going to be in for the next 5 years of a media rights deal to get started out of the gates. That's why I think the CW is going to be such an important facet to this. I thought all along that this wasn't just going to be a two-year deal. I think that, you know, anything you look at in terms of loyalty, when you're down, when somebody's kicked you to the ground and you have somebody offer a hand and support to bring you along with it, you tend to have their backs, no matter what that may look like. And I do feel like the CW has been part of that. Also, the production value of the network has been so great. It just has. I don't think I've ever been on a broadcast. I've been on some pretty big games for ESPN that we had a drone, you know. What a great optics package for the viewer. So I really loved what they brought to the table. So I should be hearing something in the next probably, as soon as the media rights deal is made public, we'll know exactly where we sit in terms of, you know, where the CW is going to be. But if I had my druthers, if I had my, you know, wish, I would love to be with this network for as long as I could be. And the fact that we got in on the ground floor, I think, speaks volumes to where I would be in terms of having their back going forward.
Ryan Leaf, congratulations on the sobriety, and wish you the best. I'll see you down the road, my friend.
Thank you, John. You guys have a wonderful night out west.
Yeah, you too, buddy. There he goes, Ryan Leaf. 13 years. And if you're out there and you're struggling, maybe you got a little inspiration today. Leave it here.